We have been blessed to hear from all kind of preachers this weekend, all kind of different talents and all kind of different gifts. And he has saved me for last for some reason or other. I ain't quite sure why. Don't start yet. Don't hold on just a minute. Y'all have endured to the end. What's it say? That if any man shall, let's see, verse 13, but he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. I know that's taken out of context, but y'all have endured to the end. So just put a hold on just a minute. But he comes down by me and mentioned, I ain't got one word on my mind. Y'all bear with me. It's going to be tough to do it 15 minutes, but we're going to, y'all just listen fast. I'm probably going to skip some verses and read and all, but y'all stay with me. And the word is wisdom. We live in a strange time. I wonder sometime if I wasn't born out of my time. I didn't ever think I'd see a time. Do they say in this country that we need to take God out of this country to make it great? God made this country great. We are today what we've had the freedom and enjoyed the freedoms we have. We can come and meet in this church because of God and God's blessings upon this country. Another thing that the world's wisdom would tell you today, that we ought to kill babies if it ain't convenient to have babies. You know, that ain't good. That ain't good. Or another thing, the wisdom of this world, that we don't need to display the Ten Commandments. Another thing, that take guns away from law-abiding citizens and everybody won't have no guns. You know, can't want nobody shooting nobody else. We know that. Another thing is this straw deal. I ain't figured that out. We got to outlaw. Y'all figure that out. Y'all let me know. We outlawing straws now in California and then in the world. But the wisdom of this world. I mean, we ought to know where we was going to be at now, but you know, I'm a little slow and a little hopeful. I think I told somebody I'm going to retire at the end of this year, and I think God's preparing me for that. He's getting me more and more ready to go. Cool things ain't just. I mean, I can tell at work it's my time to go, and I wonder if that ain't in our life as a child. We know this ain't our home. We know we're just traveling through. We know in John 14, Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you where I am, there you may be also. We know there's a home waiting on us. You know, and I think as we get more of our loved ones there, you know, I don't want to go wisdom. Let's go back to wisdom. I'll get off on something else. But what did Paul say about the times we in? And this ain't going to be my primary text. This is just going to read, I'm going to read a hit a lick or two right here. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. When was the last days? Well, I can't tell you when the last days going to be, but they started when Jesus ascended back up into heaven. And we get, it ain't long as it has been, I can tell you that. And we, you know, and I believe in a perfect world, we'd get, when God reveal our salvation to us, and then we'd just draw us closer and closer to Him, you know, and one day it'd be time to call us home and there won't be no real big change. We'd just wake up in heaven and have a new address. You know, but what did he say about these perilous times? He said, for men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that do good, tradey, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God. I got some boys that, I can't call them boys no more because they ain't that much younger than me. Men that work with me, they think it's crazy to drive 4.5-5 hours to go to church on Friday and stay over and go Saturday. Lord, I don't know. Once in a while, you just know that you're where God wants you to be. And I know this is where God wants me. I shared earlier, right there 3 miles down the road and get right here. And you know that you're where God would have you to be. But talking about Paul and Paul writing that, I want to flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 just a minute. And in the sake of time, what time did I start? Okay. Sake of time, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. That's good right here. But listen to what it finished saying. But every time there's a but in the Bible, something good fixing to happen, I always heard, I don't know. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Rest in it. Rejoice in it. You know, God used Moses to deliver the Israelites out of bondage, and then they couldn't rest in what had happened because of disobedience and hard-headedness and stubbornness. And I ain't talking about myself. We're talking about the Israelites. They had to wander around in the wilderness and not enjoy. Are you enjoying what God done for you? In the wisdom, but of the wisdom of the power of God. It goes on in 14, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Let's flip over to, let's see, let's go right here a minute. Acts 17, let's go to Marcy, go to Greece just a minute. Paul's on his missionary journey, I think probably about the second one, I ain't sure about that, but they're going to Greece. This was the intellects of the time. This was your Socrates and your philosophers and all this, and some of them men back then, they worshipped all kind of gods. They had all kind of temples and they had all kind of idols that they worshipped and they done. And they would tell you, you heard this today? You ain't got to believe. Just believe in something. You know. Now, my Bible don't tell me that. My Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. You know, it's Jesus, and it's Jesus alone. And I want to tell you something else better than that. It ain't Jesus plus anything either. It's Jesus alone. It's Jesus alone. Lost my train of thought just for a second. But, you know, Paul was there on his missionary journey. He went to this place called Marseille. And I hate to even call that because that's where I'm from in Hoboken, not this Marseille. And there was a sign put up there. He said, they want to make sure they want to dot all the I's and cross all the T's. And just in case this unknown, you know what? Why did they get so upset with Paul? One of the things was he come preaching about a resurrection. Whew, thank God for the resurrection. And that's why the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were so sad and all. But they had no hope. They had no future. They thought that grave was, you know. Anyway, but it was a plaque put up, found on the altar with the inscription, to the unknown God, who therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. But think just a minute. Think about Paul just a minute. And we'll try to get this thing. We may not, my wife said, don't forget, we got to go home. And he put the right one fast, because I am about ready. Right one last, not fast. And I'm just as scared today was the first time I stood in the pulpit, brother. But I don't know why. But thank God, through him we can do all things. But what did Paul do when he preached to the Jews? He told them about the Old Testament stuff. He talked about the sacrifices and all. Now, he told them about the sacrifice that never had to be made again. He told them about Jesus, but he talked to them in a way that he could relate to them. Well, listen to what he says here to these people here, these worldly people, these worldly wise people. He says, God, this is in verse 24, chapter 17 of Acts, God that made the world. Just go back to the beginning. God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is Lord of the heavens and the earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. All your temples and all your worshiping the sun god, the moon god, and that somebody said one time over in Africa, they went over there and they had a chicken on top of a temple. They worshiped the chicken god. And I know we all, I finally got full on chicken. I didn't eat no chicken today for dinner. I ate some turkey, it was good. But Paul done it, but, Let's go to the church. And let's go to that wisdom that we need. We need to finish up on here today. Turn back over just a minute. And I won't go somewhere else. Turn right back over to 1 Corinthians. I had some notes and a little roadmap made there, but we don't need it now, I don't reckon. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent not... For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not to the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of not effect. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. That's what we've heard this weekend. The power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribes? Where is the disputers of this world? Have not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? This world's going to pass away. That place that Jesus is going to prepare for us, it's going to last forever. Now, where are you putting your hope at? Where's your faith? What are you resting in? And we're going to close, if I can get there, in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to read first couple of three verses, but I won't get to 3 and 4 here. For I would that ye knew, this is Paul talking, that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the fullness of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mysteries of God. That's the wisdom I want to leave with you today. The mysteries of God and of the Father and of Christ. Hold your finger right there and look across the page on my Bible. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16. Let's talk about Jesus just a quick second too here in closing. God sent His only begotten Son. He wasn't one of many sons. He was the only begotten Son to come into this world. Him that knew no sin became sin for us. You know, Jesus cried out on that cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it wasn't for what He had done. It's for what me and you had done. Our sins was laid upon Him. That's the wisdom that you need to remember in this world. Yeah. Somebody said this weekend, it might have been one of y'all brothers, if he didn't say it sometime, the greatest gift you can be given is that ability to believe. Only those that have been chosen before the foundation of the world has that ability. And Brother Jeff Winfrey is so famous for saying, you know, that Trinity, it don't go against each other. You know, everyone that the Father chose, the Son died for on that Calvary, that only begotten Son, and everyone that He died for and justified and put in right standing with God, that Holy Spirit's going to call and going to reveal your salvation to you. And then once you believe, once He gives you that ability to believe, that faith and trust and hope and the peace that passes all understanding to come. Listen right here, verse 16, chapter 1 there. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, invisible, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. That's my Jesus. That's Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence, first place. He might be made first. The Son of God. It's humbling. It's humbling to think about what had to take place to open that, communicate, put us in reconciliation with God. And we got to get finished up here. Back in the second chapter of Colossians, in verse 3. Let's go back and read verse 2. It'll make a little more sense. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the fullness of understanding, into the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom. That's the only thing that's going to matter. 100 years from now, it ain't going to matter if I got drinking straws or not. You know, it ain't going to matter. Oh, I want to see this country go on, but really, 100 years, some of y'all young children, younger people back there in May, but most of us in here, 100 years now, we're going to be reaping our rewards. Yeah. Reaping our rewards. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and in knowledge. I think y'all heard about a man named Jesus. We talked about out there after dinner, we talked about different men of God, I believe, that believe a little different than us. And I want to tell you, I ain't going to break camp with you. As long as you believe there's one God and there's one Jesus. And he was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. But the cross, the grave couldn't hold him. On the third day, he came forth. He came forth. He had victory over that grave. And through that, the work of Jesus, we could have victory also. Thank you all for putting up with us. Thank you for your hospitality. We love y'all and hope to be back sometime.